We all in the name of Jesus. Just blessed this morning again to be here, just to worship. Just reminded again where we are, Christmas season, and just how God in His mercy was willing to come down. It seems every Christmas there's like some quote or line that stands out to me, and just, I think it was this week I was reading in John where it reads that, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." It's amazing. It's like a total miracle. So I was asked to, if I want to share my testimony this morning, which I can say it was actually on my heart the week before, so I kind of knew what my answer needs to be to that, even though it makes me feel very vulnerable. But yeah, my desire is just that God can be glorified through this, which when I think back, and actually, you know, the great thing about going back and kind of digging out your testimony is just seeing what God has actually done. And praise be to Him, He didn't give up. Before I start, I just want to thank you all as a church for how you have welcomed us here. It's just been a tremendous blessing. So I was, I would say I grew up in a very traditional, very normal, a good home. I had a good home life. I think probably all my siblings would agree with that. There's obviously some things, and even more, not so much of, you know, my surroundings, but just things about myself that I regret as a little boy that I feel kind of led up into the things that I struggle with not the rest of my life, praise be to God, but just in the life after that. Obviously I can't share everything about my life. Probably bore most of you, but and some of the things I want to point out are not necessarily just the only sins I did, or the only thing that it's not the only reason I needed salvation, but I feel there were the things that brought me to the end of myself. I don't necessarily know when I was born again. I've kind of exhausted myself trying to figure that out, part of my life. And I found peace in deciding I don't necessarily know. I have a good idea of what season of my life it happened, but there's a verse or two in Romans, I think it's in Romans 8, where it says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we can know we are a child of God. That verse is beautiful. I guess I came to the point, I don't need more assurance than that. The Spirit is part of the Trinity, the Spirit is part of God, and if He is willing to testify with my spirit that I am born again, I want to believe that. So in my youth, I remember as a young teenager, I wanted to serve God. I grew up in a family where the Word of God was freely talked about. We would hear about God, and just I heard a lot of things in my younger years about how God works, and I would see how other youth, 16-year-olds, we called them, tended to live their life, and I thought that's something I did not want to do. When I turned 16, that lasted about 3 months, and I gave in to the pressures around me. I don't want to share a lot about that time in my life, but I just remember, I think I can maybe just point out something here that I had a change of heart or mind, I'm not sure. I'm pretty certain I was not born again at that time. But I remember going away one Saturday evening. I remember where I was driving through Intercourse, and I was heading to a party. And I remember thinking of some things that I wanted to do to satisfy my flesh for my own pleasure, and I vowed that I would do them. The next day, I'm sure some of you in here remember that happening. But there was a there was a car accident, and there was some good friends of mine involved, and they were killed. And it changed my life. It changed my way of thinking. I don't remember repenting over that time, but I remember I decided I'm going to change my life because I feared God's judgment. I wish that I would have been ready. I wish that I would have had somebody right beside me to lead me to Jesus. But it did change my way of how I wanted to lead my life, and it wasn't long after that we started our courtship, me and my wife now, Lena, and we had a couple good years together, which I feel was a blessing from God amidst all my mistakes, maybe not even fully committing to Him. I was baptized and we got married, and we didn't keep our courtship pure. There's few things in my life that I regret as much as that. So that led to a couple of years of, I would say the biggest thing is I was living in guilt. And just when I look back at that time, I can't see a whole lot of victory in my life. I was, I would say, pretty vulnerable to just immorality. That went on for about 2 years, and I came to the end of myself with that. I knew that I need to do something. My conscience wasn't letting me go, and we did a public confession. We repented. And that was a time in my life where I can look back on, and I remember just feeling freedom. I remember walking home that evening when I went out and just poured out our mistakes and everything. I just felt free. I knew I had victory over that. But there was something missing in that repentance. At that time, I understood repentance. I knew that Jesus died for my sins, and I know that I accepted that, and I fully wanted that. I'm just going to point out a couple things, or just go to a couple scriptures that just kind of pointing out, and you know, I don't just want to share my life story here and, you know, tell you what I have been through or whatever. And overall, my life has been pretty good. Our marriage has been very blessed by God. But in Romans 6, and I'm going to start in Romans 5, but it's kind of interesting to me. This is a scripture we had twice a year in our church, and I remember reading this scripture usually and just, I didn't get it. Like, I wasn't sure what he's talking about. I'm going to start in Romans 5:18. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. I think that's maybe, or I know, that's a lot what I was missing. I was looking at my need for repentance because of failures, because of things I had done wrong in my life, which is necessary. I don't want to talk down on repentance, because obviously John the Baptist and Jesus both started their ministry with repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Later the apostles would bring out the message, repent and be baptized. The law was added so that trespass might increase. That's interesting. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is what was the next, in Romans 6, is what was confusing to me, is what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. The King James Version says, God forbid. I like that, those words there. It seems like there's nothing more final than, obviously that is not what he is calling us or allowing us to do. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, taking our sins with us? Our old self dies with that. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. When I look back at this, that is where the power lies. Christ did not stay in the grave with our sins. He didn't stay there and live with them forever. He had victory over them. And he rose again, and we can rise with him. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. A couple of little hints of that power in Ephesians. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And in Ephesians 2, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised you up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Just praise God this morning for his power, the resurrection power. When we rise with him, and this is maybe more my experience, this was definitely not my experience at that time. When we rise with him, he gives us his overcoming power. He gives us his righteousness. I think a lot of my failure at that time, I was trying to repent myself into righteousness. We can't do that. And I think one reason we can't do that is because we would always be repenting. I'm not free from sin today, but I've made an atonement that my sin is paid for. And my righteousness is only that Christ gives me when I accept him through faith. After that was probably a very normal life to most people. It was for me. But my victory didn't necessarily stay for long. I knew I could never... I knew there was some public sins that I could never commit again and let my conscience... And my conscience would let me live with it. But the life inside of me, I feel it was cleansed, but I had not claimed the victory. And probably the main thing was just entertaining impure thoughts. Probably one of my biggest, the biggest handles or the biggest reasons, or I don't know, it wasn't the reason, but one thing that I feel played a big part in that was country music. I spent a lot of time traveling on the roads, and music was always I always connected very strongly with music. Even back in my youth, I shudder when I think back of how I enjoyed some of the music that was available. I know years later, when I got serious about overcoming some of these traps or some of these things that just wanted to hang on to me, that was one thing that when I had decided it has to go out the door, I experienced a great level of victory. But God was calling me at this time. I just praise God again for not giving up. When I believe something, usually I get pretty opinionated. I realize now I was pretty stubborn in what I believed. But I can think back about three times. This was all probably about 3 years after we had repented, made that confession, that I felt like I needed to do something. And most times, I can't necessarily recall that well, but I would respond by trying, just finding something in my life that I need to stop doing. I need to live a better life. But the one time I remember, I ended up in the upstairs of our barn. I was looking out the barn window, and I wanted to change. I wanted a different life. And the change I saw scared me. At that time, I was taught that such a change is deceiving. And I decided I can't change that much. I'm just going to try to do better. Well, that's what I did. Years went by after that. I would say probably in this time, I'm just sharing some things that were working against me. But I imagine most people on the outside thought we're living a very good life. And I know we were blessed. We were very accepted by culture. I was working a good job. We were making payments. We had probably most everything going for us. But I would say inside I was stuck. And there's something interesting about the way sin works or the way Satan works. He's usually not okay with us being stuck or staying the same. And usually we either repent or we go backwards. And that's what I was doing. I was backsliding. But I actually praise God for that. That is the very thing that brought me to the end of myself. If I could have just been allowed to be there, to be okay and to live that good life that we were living, I think I fear I would have stayed there. But I was backsliding. I was living for self. My impurities were going into more addictions rather than overcoming. And I was experiencing some what I feel was forces from the darkness. I would wake up at night sometimes and I would feel like I'm being sucked into eternity. Just nothing around me. Looking back, I'm not sure why that didn't disturb me more. Except I think I was so comfortable with following enough of rules, doing enough of things right, that I had a sense of security. And I don't say that I did not have the... I strongly still feel, I go back to that time of repenting. I know I had the forgiveness of God. I would repent, and I know I was forgiven. But I was wanting more. I'm just going to mention one thing. I have it marked down here as the doors were opening, and I remember one thing that it's kind of amazing to me that it played such a significant role, but I believe I was stuck in culture, and the overall leaders of the church had made a decision on something. It was just material things, but it did not make sense to me, and I allowed myself to search this out, and I kind of knew what was the right thing to do, but I didn't feel like the material things was enough for me to, how would you say, work against anything. But I think what it did, it allowed me to doubt maybe the integrity, the vision, and it allowed me to read scripture for what it says. And I praise God for that. I wanted more. I was digging in for a deeper relationship. I was able to overcome some of those addictions, but I was still struggling just with the inner impurities. I remember just seeing there was different things available in kind of in the area at the time for kind of the nature of impurities. And I saw a meeting advertised, said purity for men, and I wanted to go. It was kind of a big step because that was something that was discouraged. But I thank you today, Daniel, for inviting me. I was invited, and we went. And I couldn't believe how the desires of my heart were just spoken out that evening. I remember one thing he was talking about, how we can have power over the thoughts that want to come into our life. He said it takes about, when a thought enters our mind, it takes about 4 seconds before our mind decides if we're going to entertain it or if we're going to get rid of it. And he said, in that time, there's enough of time to turn to Jesus. He said, in the name of Jesus and in the power of his blood, I reject that thought. I knew that was for me. There was a light, a fire lighted inside of me. I knew I had victory and I was going to go after that. And I did. I used that countless times in the weeks after that. And it's amazing how God, maybe the same way that the works of darkness aren't okay with us staying in one place, God does not stop once we have, how would you say, reached a certain level with Him. There was just a hunger and a knowing that through the blood of Jesus, there is victory. I will have victory. I just praise God for that time in our life. It was maybe difficult in a lot of ways. There was things that we had to sort through, but victory in Jesus is worth it. Does that mean I never get tempted? I wish I could say it does. I don't know if I just need to realize that I don't necessarily like to say that it's just a weakness, but I believe we all have weaknesses, and I just love what Jesus says about that in Corinthians when Paul was struggling with his weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. It's pretty amazing. I'm not quite sure how the King James Version reads it out, but in here it says that to keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassing the great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan. I don't know what depth he's talking about there, but it just amazed me that we can have a weakness, maybe even a weakness of sin. But Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." And I believe the reason that works that way, it is those very things that brings us to the end of ourselves. It is those very things that we come before God and I can't do it. I need your help. And then He can work. So this was a time that I hope I always cherish in my life. I can easily see why Jesus mentioned in Revelations that we should not lose our first love. Obviously, we need to grow spiritually, but that is a time where I was fully committed. I didn't really care where this takes us. I knew I wanted Jesus Christ. I wanted victory. And whatever it takes to keep that, that's what we're going to do. I was excited to be a Christian. It was no longer just about trying to be good enough. I was excited to be a Christian. The Word of God became alive. I remember times when I would pick up the Bible, I would sit down at the couch, wherever, to read it, and chills would go up my spine. I just couldn't wait to grab that next truth in there, something that's going to give me life. And it was there. Probably one of the biggest things, I guess the one thing that I want to point out of this was repentance is very necessary. I would dare say it has to be the first step, but God can take us beyond that. The power of the revelation of resurrection is for us, and we can rise above ourselves. I would say I probably gain more understanding for God's plan of salvation at that time. Like I said before, I was a lot minded of, if you do it wrong, you have to repent. But I gained an understanding that everyone needs salvation. It doesn't matter if we're the worst of sinners or if we're a young youth growing up in a home where we do everything mom and dad tell us, we need salvation. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, there was a curse that separated God from man, and we need to be reconciled. We need to repent of our sinfulness. I used to think we need to repent of our sins. I think sinfulness goes deeper than that. We are all sinful. We need to repent of our sinfulness. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, accept His sacrifice for our own, and ask Him to be our Lord and Savior, and believe. When we are baptized unto His death, we will also rise with Him. I think that's about all I have. Obviously, our journey didn't really stop there, but I feel that was kind of the main keys of my life that brought me to the place where I wanted to be in God.